Greetings, fellow traveler. As humanity awakens and evolves, we see change in every aspect of our lives. Let's consciously manifest our desires. I am Candace Craw Goldman, and this is New Earth Journey.
Greetings. It is October 13th, 2015. Welcome and thank you so much for tuning in this evening. I'm really looking forward to tonight's show because one of the goals of New Earth Journey is a very local goal. And what do I mean by local? Well, I'm broadcasting to you live tonight from rural Kansas, and I mean rural Kansas. The donkey was just braying outside. The trucks are harvesting and cutting around, and I'm way out in the sticks. And Kansas isn't normally a place a person might consider to be filled with enlightened or spiritually or metaphysically progressive people or groups or centers. And I'd like to help change that perception. I also know it is one reason why I am living in the place that I'm living. And I really love the fact that many of us call this place the heartland of this country. And tonight's guest is a person who is absolutely enlightened and spiritually and metaphysically progressive. And she represents a group as well, right here in my neck of the woods in Wichita, Kansas. So I'm very pleased to welcome Belle Dessa, who is the Bella Dessa. Forgive me, I even asked her to make sure I said it right. Bella Dessa, who is the program director of the Great Plains Earth Institute right here in Wichita, Kansas. Welcome, Bella.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Forgive me on your name. You know, I look at your name and you spell it with an E in there, but you actually say it with kind of like an A. So actually, that's a great first question. Bella, how did you get that name?
Well, it's very interesting. We have to go back a few years to get to that name, but I at one point had the opportunity to go to Montana and do a three-week intensive with a teacher by the name of Brooke Medicine Eagle. And we were on a 10,000-acre ranch in the foothills of the Tetons. And the goal of that three-week intensive was for us to reconnect with the earth. And so we camped out every night. We had a toilet that we had to walk a ways to get to. And she sent us out on the land twice a day to meander. And her definition of meander was to let your feet take you where they will. Now, I have always enjoyed being out like that. And so for her to do that was ecstasy for me. Mm-hmm. And I had some nice experiences doing that. The really big experience came the last week we were there, and she told us about it the first day we were there. We were going to be asked to do a two-day vision quest. And the requirements for that were that you take a sleeping bag and water, and that's it, and you find a place on that 10,000-acre ranch where you could neither hear nor see another individual. At that point, I did not realize I had a fear about that.
I was just imagining doing that myself, Bella. How this was just a few years ago, you say?
This was actually 2001, and she was telling us about some of the animals that lived there, and one of the ones that she mentioned was mountain lion. Well, I had seen mountain lions here in Kansas at a distance, but I'd never spent the night out where they might decide to check me out. So, and she wanted us to tell her where we were prior to going out so that if need be, they could come check on us. Well, I was so afraid I had not picked out a place, and nobody realized that. So I get out, I find my place, and I'm sitting there, and because she said, you are to sit. You're not to journal. You're not to read. You are to sit with the earth. So as the day wore on, I knew when nighttime came, I was going to be very anxious. At that time, I was working as a counselor for a place called Positive Changes in Wichita, and I worked with people all the time about their fears. So I strung some stories together for myself about places where I knew I belonged there and I was safe. And I laid down, stayed up as late as I could, laid down, ran my movie. I didn't even finish it before I went to sleep. I woke up once in the night. I ran my movie again. And then I woke up literally at the crack of dawn. And my first thought truly was, I did not get eaten. So,
you know, congratulations. I'm not sure. I've never really done anything like that. I mean, I've spent the night outside, but I've been with either others or a horse or even a dog, you know,
yes.
But not completely alone with the coyotes or the mountain lions. That would give me pause too. Now, have you done anything like that since? You know what? I'm going to let you finish your story. Congratulations.
Okay. All right. So we were, the directions were that the next day we were to wait and be called in by drums from the distance. So that afternoon of the second day, it got hot and I moved into some shade. And when I heard the drums, I was laying on my side in a fetal position and I did not want to go back. And I'm going, okay, something has happened here that I don't know what it was. And so I went back, I took a shower, I changed my clothes. We were going to eat about an hour later. And I went the opposite direction from the camp because I kept saying to myself, all I want to do is sit by the water and remember the sound of the water. So I found a place not very far from the camp, and I sat there, and I kept asking myself, how am I going to remember the sound of this water? Repeated that over and over, and the next thing I knew, I was hearing a flute-like music, and I almost fell off my rock because I was so surprised to hear that.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, I don't know what that is, and then I thought to myself, it's the music of the water. As I had read books about people who heard the music of the wind, the music of the earth, the music of flowers, but I had never heard any of that with these physical ears. And I was so entranced that I sat there and sat there and sat there, and all of a sudden I came to and I thought, oh, I need to get back because nobody knows where I'm at. And so I get back and everybody's asking me, are you okay? And I had never felt better. And finally, I ended up sharing with one of Brooke's assistants because she asked me if I was okay. I said I did not want to come back. Now, this woman was a part Native American, and she had done many vision quests. And she just grabbed me and gave me a big hug. So as a result of that three-week intensive, I met a man who takes tours to England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland. And that following December, he sent me a letter. I am getting to the name. He sent me a letter. actually, it wasn't a letter. It was two brochures, one of a tour he was taking to Scotland and the other one to England. Now, I didn't know this man. I did not know why he was sending me these things because I had not indicated to him that I was interested in it, but I'd always wanted to go to England. And when I picked that brochure up to read it about England, my heart started beating so fast that I had to put the brochure down because I didn't know what was going on. It did that every time. And finally, long story short, I ended up going to England in 2002. So in 2002, prior to that trip, I had read a book that suggested that sometime in your meditation practice, ask who you are. And so for whatever reason, that day, it was in August of 2002, I said in my meditation, who am I? And I started hearing something, much to my surprise. It was not what I consider English, and I played around with what I was hearing and finally was told, however we're told with these kinds of things, that's Belladessa is close enough. So
wonderful.
Yes, so I went on my trip to England, and it was a tour of sacred sites, a 10-day tour of sacred sites. The very first place we went was a well, a hand-dug well that had been dug in the 12th century. And it was very small. It had three or four steps leading down into it, and the walls were just covered with very tiny, tiny plants. A lot of them were phosphorescent. It was a beautiful place. I sat down on the step to spend a little time down there, and I literally heard, "The mother welcomes you." Now, I had never heard a message like that before, and I was very moved by that. So we go on our trip, and we come to Glastonbury Tor. He gives us an hour to explore that hill, and I eventually come to a small tree that was growing out of the side of the hill, and it had a hole that followed the trunk back in, and I said, "Well, I wonder who lives in there." And I heard a very stern voice say to me, "You need to stay awake. In the past, you have been allowed to go to sleep, but you need to stay awake because you are Bella Dessa." Yeah. So I left that place rather quickly because it scared me. But I took it to heart, and I get up to the top of the hill and meet the rest of the group. We go down to the bottom of the hill to the Chalice Well Garden, and he said, "We're going to speak out our authentic names."
Oh, wow. And
I had not thought before of having an authentic name, but it dawned on me that that's what I had been given, was my authentic name. And so I'm standing there waiting for my turn to speak out Bella Dessa, and I'm thinking, okay, what is going to happen when I claim this name? Well, nothing ordinary happened, but I did speak it out. And then several months later, I was living in New Mexico, and I got an email from a friend of mine that lived in Lawrence, Kansas at the time, who knew a Shawnee shaman woman in Santa Fe. Now, I have not met that shaman woman to this day, but she said to my friend, "Tell your friend," and she didn't quite get Bella Dessa right, but she said, "Tell her she is to be using that name now." So that's how it came to pass that I made it my legal name.
Well, it's such a beautiful story, Bella. And not only that, look how it fits into what we're going to talk about tonight.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing.
That the Great Plains Earth Institute stands for and does. And I guess it's a great time to tell us about that. You know, what is the Great Plains Earth Institute? What do you do there? And, you know, what's the group all about?
Okay. So this group is, they call themselves an environmental education program that seeks spiritually integrated solutions to ecological challenges. And we provide experiences for folks that we hope will be transformational for those folks. We believe that the problems surrounding the earth and our environment are spiritual in nature. And in order for those problems to be resolved, it requires humans to work together to heal the sense of separateness and disconnectedness that many people have and feel between humans and everything else on this planet. Mm-hmm. We support sustainable living for all ecosystems, for all species, not just humans. So that's what we're about. And we do that in various ways. We have movie nights. We have meditations. We do drum circles. We collaborate with other spiritual groups here in town. We interact with the Sierra Club here in town. We have worked with and supported the folks out of Hutchinson who are lobbying for wind energy to be allowed to build and become a larger source of power for Kansas. We support organic gardening. We have people come and talk about that. So those are some of the things that we do. Right now, one of our big focuses is that we hope to pull the folks, all of the folks that are doing these kinds of things here in this area, we hope to pull them together so that three or four times a year, representatives from those groups can get together and figure out how we can support each other emotionally, physically, and in getting the word out to what is happening. Because Great Plains was founded about 18 years ago. And at that time, they were the only ones really in this area doing anything that was being put out where people could hear about it. Mm-hmm. And this Great Plains Earth Institute was a vision of Sister Rita Robel, who lives in the convent here, and this is very close to her heart. And so she and another lady here in town wrote out what they would like to do, and then they started talking to people and asked how they could do that, and they set up a board of directors and started getting grants, and they've been going now for this last amount of time. They did take a brief hiatus about 4 years ago to step back and reevaluate and say, what do we want to do from this point forward? So I was invited to come on board a little over 2 years ago, and one of the reasons I was delighted to be a part of this is the very spiritual aspect of Great Plains Earth Institute. Mm-hmm. And for a time, we had our offices in the convent where Rita lives, because they were trying to save the money that they had. Mm-hmm. And the folks at the convent have been so wonderful. They gave us a free office space. They gave us free internet. If we wanted to eat lunch there, they didn't charge us. And so in that way, they were very, very supportive of us. And one of the things I want to lift up is that the sisters in that convent came up with their own land ethic. And it has 9 parts. I'm not going to read all of them. But this group is the Adorers of the Blood of Christ. And so I'll read a couple of the items that they put together on their land ethic. Whereas we adorers of the blood of Christ believe creation is a revelation of God, we proclaim that as adorers, we honor the sacredness of all creation. We cultivate a mystical consciousness that connects us to the holy in all life. As students of Earth, we listen intently to Earth's wisdom. We respect our interconnectedness and oneness with creation and learn what Earth needs to support life. And one more, as advocates of Earth, we are choosing simple lifestyles that avoid excessive or harmful use of natural resources. We work in solidarity with all creation for a healthy and sustainable lifestyle. And so that kind of gives you an idea of the kind of person that Rita is. And we recently had an open house because we moved into new offices in another part of Wichita. And we surprised Rita by honoring her for her vision and for her holding the space and doing what she needed to do to maintain this particular organization here.
You know, Bella, I can't even remember why. I think I was out of town or something. I was not able to attend that event, and I so wanted to, because I've had the pleasure not only of meeting and getting to know beautiful Sister Rita a little bit, but she's been out to our farm on a couple of different occasions.
Yes.
And just astonishing woman with so much love and understanding and depth to her, and a very special lady. I'm not even really sure. Is she? She's the one who founded all of the the programs or the institute itself long ago.
She's the one that had the initial idea, yes, mm-hmm. and pursued it and found people here locally who were willing to take this journey with her and support her in it. Yes, absolutely. Prior to that, she had also run a spiritual center called the Akuto Center, and brought in and helped other organizations in town bring in cutting-edge people to Wichita who were writing about spirituality and moving beyond the limited scope that some of the religions have. So she's not new to this kind of thing, but she definitely goes out there on a limb and gets things done.
That's to put it mildly for, you know, a sister in a convent. Now is that group still around, the one that you just described?
Yes, they are here. They are healthy. Their numbers are a lot smaller than they used to be, but they are all still very involved. And the times that I've been in the convent and heard stories about where the various sisters have been, they've been all over the world, literally, working in hospitals, teaching, helping children, you name it, they have done it. And their walls are covered with artwork that these sisters have done. And it's beautiful.
Wow. I can't believe I haven't seen that yet. I just need to slow down a little bit and get out there and visit. These are such great, great stories. And so that other group and the Great Plains Earth Institute and connecting and coming together locally here in Kansas, it's such a beautiful thing. I really love that whole idea. And I want to give a shout out to any group out there, anybody who is in the area who has similar goals in mind. And I guess this is a good time, too, if any of you all out there are listening and would like to join the conversation this evening with Bellidessa and myself, the number to call in to join us or to ask a question is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008, just in case you want to say hello or ask Bella a question. And until or unless that happens, I just want to hear more about the Great Plains Earth Institute. Hey, you know, can I ask about the logo? I so admired the logo and the colors and the bison. And is there a story behind that logo you could tell me?
Well, I don't know that I know all of the story, but we used to have just a black and white image of the bison. And last year we put together some new brochures, and we're slowly redoing our website. And our webmaster said, well, you know, we could even do a different logo if we wanted to. But I liked the idea of the bison. Rita liked the idea of the bison, and so we decided to stay with that. But we went online and found some images that you could use for free and put them together, and then our webmaster touched them up a little bit. But I'm like you. I love the colors, mm-hmm. and we just feel like the bison is such a powerful connection to the Great Plains. We couldn't think of anything else we would rather have.
Just perfect, really perfect, and it speaks volumes when you look at it. It really represents Kansas very well in our history and what the land here is and what it means.
Yes.
So, tell us a little bit about maybe some stories where you've brought people together out onto the land here, and some of the things that might have happened, or some of the programs that have brought people to connect directly with the earth during some of your shows or programs or classes, et cetera.
Okay. Well, one of the guests that we had shortly after I came on board is a Native American, part Native American woman, who is a seed carrier. And that comes down through her ancestry, and she was in some ceremony a number of years ago, she was told that she was to be a corn carrier is primarily, but she's also has collected seeds. And so as she's moved around, she has hundreds of jars of corn that were grown by various Native American tribes. And her purpose, as she was told, is to keep these seeds and hand them out to people who will grow them and save seeds so that these varieties are never lost.
Wow.
So, yes, she was living in Eureka Springs, Arkansas at the time, and so we brought her in, and she has a whole spread of samples of the corn, and she knows the stories behind them and the tribes that use them. And, you know, I used to think there was just corn. Well,
no way.
There's flour corn, and there's seed corn, and several other types of corn, And I had an interesting experience this year because I had been able to get some of the seeds, and I planted some that I had forgotten were supposed to be flower corn. And I gave some ears to my sister, and she called me and said, "We couldn't eat that corn." I said, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Because I cooked it, but it was hard." So I called Diana and I said, "Would that have been flower corn?" And she laughed and she said, "Yes, it's not meant to be cooked. It's meant to be ground so you can make cornmeal."
So, isn't that interesting?
And one of the interesting things that happened in that class, a number of people who came hadn't been to some of our gatherings before. And there was a woman there who lives in Wichita, but she had been back to the East Coast to visit some relatives. And she said, about midway through Diana's presentation, she says, "I have some corn that you're supposed to have." And she said, "Someone, when I was back visiting my relatives, said, you need to have some of this corn." And she thought to herself, I don't know why I need this corn. But she brought it back to Wichita. And as Diana was talking about the sacredness of corn, the woman, she goes, "I know that you are to have this." And so that was an interesting exchange. And everybody was just quite taken. And it changed our thoughts about, oh, it's just something. It's just corn, or it's just potatoes, or whatever, because it adds the new dimension of sacredness to that which we use a lot in our daily life.
Yeah. And isn't that something that we've just gotten so far away from, the idea of sacredness and ritual too? You know, I think about this sometimes, Bella, when I see some people, and I'm not judging or making fun of anyone at all, but when I see, for instance, people who get very excited about some of the more commercial holidays, and people are really hungry for ritual.
Yes.
They're also sort of, you know, they're not hungry for the sales stuff, and they don't, I think they don't even really know that they're hungry for ritual. You know, people who, you know, are put off by the plastic and commercial sort of, you know, the commercialization of sort of watching events go through the year, you know, timing and holidays, et cetera. And I think that there's a real need to reconnect with some of that sacredness and ritual, and especially that which connects to the earth.
I agree. And I think some people have been affected by, I mean, ritual over the years, and even years ago, has kind of been given a bad name in terms of people think of ritual as doing things to create negative experiences for other people. But ritual can be as simple as getting up in the morning, going to the window to watch the sunrise and enjoying that, or looking at the sunset, or going to the river or the stream or even a lake and just sitting there and listening to the sound of the waves, or the listening to the sound of the running water. I mean, it can be a very simple thing. It can be a very complicated thing. But yes, I so agree with you, and I find that in my own life that I get to a point where I'm going, okay, I need to do something in the form of ritual that's going to shift me away from whatever it is I'm feeling or what I had been thinking about or worrying about, and it's very fulfilling when I take the time to do that. And I've heard that same thing from a lot of people who take the time to do that.
You know, I really like that you point that out, that it can be very simple. And as you're saying that, you know, I'm thinking of a mutual friend of ours, Marcia McCoy, who actually stayed out here at our farm. I think it was 2011, around that time. She was here with us for a while. And she was such a sweetheart, and there were so many wonderful things and events. And it's how I met Rita, was through Marcia. Ah. But here's something really interesting. I remember how she would pick up a broom, and with the biggest smile on her face, she would talk about, you know, tidying up the temple, sort of the sacred cleaning of the temple, which was nothing more than, you know, the kitchen.
Yes.
But having the intent and picking up the broom and talking about making your sacred space more beautiful by, you know, caring for it in that way, it's all about intention. And so you're right. Ritual can be found in all of our lives. We can find more meaning throughout our day if we just allow ourselves to connect a little bit. And, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We have done, Great Plains has done a variety of things. So we had Diana come in and talk about seeds. We took a field trip to a wind farm, which is over by Beaumont, Kansas. The farmer there is Pete Farrell. He's very knowledgeable about wind energy and had traveled to Hawaii for a big wind energy conference. And he said there are so many wind turbines over there, and they've had them for so long that when you ask a native about the turbines, they go, "What turbines?" Because they've become a part of the landscape. And so he told us a little bit about his struggle with the Kansas legislature to get approval to put that wind farm out there. We also had a young woman here in Wichita who does mandala workshops, and she actually brings all the things you need to make a mandala and talks to you about whatever colors you choose have meaning for you, and that was interesting. We've manned the booth, or at least assisted in manning the booth at the state fair for the wind energy folks. We had a beekeeper come in and talk to us, and Britt Hopper.
I'd like to talk more about that for sure.
He is passionate about bees, and he knows so much, and he is so willing to talk about it. So the gathering that we had that he came to, he brought a small, and you've probably seen them, they're glass enclosed portable containers that have bees and the honeycomb in it. He brought one of those to the convent because we had it at the convent, and we had some children there, and he had people up in the center of the circle acting out some of the actions of the bees so that we would get a better idea of what they were doing. He is a very wonderful speaker. So then in September, we met here, a group met here for the purpose of joining with groups literally around the world that were connected through a group in New York City. And that group was facilitated by Tom Kenyon. And the idea was...
The sound healer, the very famous sound healer.
Yes, absolutely. And he had been asked by some spiritual entities that he has worked with for years to do this meditation and to invite people that were interested at a very specific time on that day for the purpose of calling in help from the angelic realm, because the Hathors, the group that Tom works with, had said, "We are concerned about how humans are really going to do with the changes that are coming. And so we would like to call in some help for you." So we had a nice group come to the offices where we are now, and we spent a half hour in meditation, and Tom Kenyon had given a recording that we played during that meditation. And then he sent out a notice about 10 days after that there had been 500 people involved in the New York City one, and that people from a number of places around the world had told him they were going to connect in. So that's one of those really etheric things, and you can't really say, you can't really point to something that you did that day, but everyone that came left feeling very satisfied and so glad that they had been here. Our most recent experience here was an equinox celebration, and we had had that in conjunction with our open house. And so we had a local man here who plays what's called the Chapman stick, and if I remember correctly, it's an instrument that he created, and I am blanking on his name right now. Maybe that'll
maybe
come
Chapman?
Up.
Maybe Chapman?
No, no. One would think, right?
Well, no, describe the instrument. Can you describe the instrument?
Yeah. I wish I didn't even think that I hadn't written his name down. But he plays at Botanica, and he'll play for weddings. He does a lot of this. And so we followed that by a short meditation and a drumming. And I'm just giving an idea of some of the things we do here. The last movie that we showed was called Chasing Ice, and it has to do with the melting of glaciers and the polar caps. And it can be rather disturbing to watch, because he has photos, time-lapsed photos, that show how much glaciers receded in Greenland, Iceland, Alaska, and I think in a couple of places of Canada. So even though we don't want to think about climate change and what it might mean for us, it is happening. And so we want people to be aware of that and begin thinking, what can we do internally that might change that, which is where our spiritual aspect comes in. We, in the past, this was before I joined the group, but there is an Earth Institute out of Portland, Oregon, called the Northwest Earth Institute, and they put together book studies. And so they have done a number of book studies. I've just picked up a couple of the titles. One of them was Discovering a Sense of Place, and the whole idea behind that is connecting with wherever you are, becoming familiar with the seasons, noticing when the season changes, noticing if the season that you're in is a little bit different than the previous ones, so that you begin to feel like you are part of what's happening on the earth, because in reality we are, but there's a separateness that has come in because of the way we live.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt you by telling you about that sense of place that you just said? When I asked you to be a guest here on New Earth Journey, I thought so much about living here in Kansas and how it was that I found that my husband and I are living here on this piece of property. I thought you might be interested in a little story of mine about
how that
happened. So it was in March. It was not far from the time of my late brother's birthday, which is early March. He was born on the 5th of March, and I remember thinking, as I was walking in this hayfield that is now, you know, just south of where I'm sitting here doing this radio show. It was just a farm for sale at the time, though, and I was with the realtor on about my third visit, and I asked him if he would give me a moment and not to worry about it, but I was probably going to go lay down in the middle of that field.
I understand that.
And it was, you know, I'm like, okay, don't think I'm weird, but I'm going to go do this. And he was really kind about it, but it was a chilly, blustery kind of, you know, moist early March day. It wasn't really cold, but it certainly wasn't warm. I was wearing ski jacket, pants, and boots. And I went out there and I laid in the middle of the field and I looked up at the sky, and it was beautiful blue with, it was fairly windy, white clouds going by. And I asked God for a sign.
Mm.
I said, I think I'm supposed, you know, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. I think this is where my husband and I are supposed to be. I want to be in Kansas. Is this the right place? And I asked for a sign. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought maybe, I don't know, a bird would fly around, or, you know, a bug would land on my nose, or I don't even know what I thought. You know, I could see something in the sky. And I laid there for a while, but not too long, because, you know, the realtor was in his pickup truck, you know, just down the way. And I didn't want him to wait too long. And I remember thinking that I felt very comfortable. even though it was a wet kind of ground and it's all, you know, brown in winter and it was kind of moist and it was cool, but I was still comfortable. I felt very comfortable. And I remember asking myself, well, why isn't that just a good enough feeling? Why can't that be a good enough sign? You know, and I was telling myself that. And I was feeling pretty good about that. And so then I just sat up and I put my hands on the ground and I pulled my feet up to stand up. And Bella, guess what? At my right boot was a blooming sunflower.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, sunflowers don't bloom in March. They don't bloom late summer. It was very small. But it was, in fact, a sunflower, and it was blooming, and it wasn't there when I laid down, because I would have seen it. It was, you know, bright yellow, and it was one of the biggest, most amazing miracles that God ever gave to me. And so even asking you to be on this program, I bring that feeling of that sense of being here and bringing the magic and connection to earth and spirituality, you know, out in the open for us to talk about and to connect with other people. And so thank you. I really loved that, you know, discovering a sense of place. So this place is beautiful. Yeah. A lot of people make fun of Kansas. This is a beautiful place, and I'm so happy to be here. So tell us some more then.
Okay.
I interrupted you to tell my little story. But I knew you would like that one.
I love that one. I truly love that one. The land here has a very, for this lifetime anyhow, very inexplicable draw for me. And I have always loved this land. I haven't always enjoyed where I live because I find the city very noisy. But there are ways that I can connect with the land and feel good for that. We actually did what we called a nature spirit workshop that was facilitated by a woman by the name of Laura Walters, and she lived in Wichita at the time. She's now living in Oregon, Salem, Oregon, and she's written a number of books, and she's basically a photographer. And she loves photographing nature, and because we're in the digital age, she does it with a digital camera, and then she downloads them onto her computer so that she can look at them and decide if she wants to crop them or whatever for her book. Well, what she's discovered is that some of those photos that she's taken, once they've been downloaded onto her computer, images start showing up that were not seen in nature when she took the pictures. And so you'll see faces, you'll see animal shapes, and it is absolutely fascinating. So she did a workshop out at our retreat center, which is west of Kingman a ways, and it's out in the country. It has a couple of ponds on it, has some uncultivated land around it, and it's very beautiful and very peaceful. And several of us were out there for a retreat 2 or 3 years ago, and it was in the wintertime. I think it was in the early part of the year. The ponds were frozen over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we stayed up and visited at night, and then the next morning everybody kind of gets up and is moving kind of slowly, and somebody always wants to go outside, and I'm one of them, and check out what's going on. So we went out on the dock, which is over one of the ponds, and there was this perfect circle with a pattern in it in the ice.
Like a crop circle, is
yes.
that what you mean? Wow.
Yes.
Did somebody take a picture?
We did take pictures because we're going, nobody's going to believe us. But I'm standing there, and I had seen lots of ice on the streams and the rivers in Kansas. I had never seen a perfect circle with a pattern in it. Laura just gets off on these kinds of things. So we went back in and sent her a picture of it and called her and said, you know, look at this. We've never seen anything like this. Well, she has another friend who is very intuitive and very close to the beings that are not in the physical realm. And so she called her and sent the picture on and said, what do you think this is about? And this woman tapped into her connection to the spirit realm, and she said that this ice pattern was a sign given to the people that were at the retreat center that these beings had been there. And I believe she called them the mantis beings because they...
Oh, I know them.
Do you?
I've learned about them in my QHHT sessions. You bet. Oh, I can't. Can you describe the pattern and tell us more of that story?
Well, I can't describe the pattern because it's been so long since I looked at the picture, and I didn't even think about preparing myself for that for the radio show because I had so many other things come up.
Sure.
But she said that they were attracted to that spot because of our joyousness, because those of us who were there, we were having a good time, we were laughing, we were playing games, we were watching videos about how to expand our own spirituality and things like that, and they were so taken by the energy that we were projecting that they wanted to come and leave a sign that they had been there. We were just overjoyed and amazed. I've not had anything happen like that since, but you never know when that's going to happen again.
I know. Wouldn't you love to know or see crop circles start happening in our wheat fields? I sure would. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're staying away because of all the GMOs. What do you think?
I don't know about that, but I'm like you. I would love to take a trip to England and be where one is made. When I lived in New Mexico, I had the opportunity to listen to a man who's done a lot of research on crop circles. And I'd had a lot of folks here in Kansas say, oh, they're made by humans. But I always felt like that was not true because of the intricacy and how quickly they formed. And so in his research, he was saying they go in and they look at the crop and the crop is bent, but it is not broken.
Right.
And the amount of crop per acre within the crop circle is sometimes twice what it is in the rest of the field. So it's not damaging the crop. They've recorded sounds that aren't sounds that we normally hear in a crop circle. So there's a lot going on there that we don't know about. And so, yes, I'm like you. I would love to have them happen here.
I wonder if we could ask about that.
Ask to have it happen? I don't know why not.
Yeah. Have you seen, your story about the ice circle, have you seen that there's been some, and I just saw something come on the internet somewhere. I don't remember where it was. I wish I could have committed it to memory, but it was a pattern in the ice and snow somewhere up north.
Oh.
It was basically a crop circle pattern, but
yes,
in the ice and snow.
Yes.
And just spectacular. I don't know why they're focused in England, but I know that they occasionally appear elsewhere. I'd like to say that we're officially asking you and me right now. How about that? How about Bella Dessa and Candace Krogelman are asking those who create the crop circles to come to Kansas and gift us with one here. Let's see what happens, huh, Bella?
Yes. I'm right there with you, dear. And I think it was Marcia McCoy that posted a recent crop circle on Facebook the other day. And Rita had commented on it. And she said, I would like to know what they're telling us with these crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's all quite exciting. I mean, this is, and we've commented here several times, this is really an exciting time to be alive.
It really is. And, you know, we're coming towards the end of our show, so I want to make sure that you talk to people about some of the upcoming events at your center, some of the people here in the local area who might be listening, some of the things that are coming up soon.
Okay.
The Great Plains Earth Institute.
All right. Actually, a week from today? Yes. A week from today, we're going to have another movie night. And the title of the movie is Sirius. And that is Sirius spelled like the star. Mm-hmm. And it is about whether or not there are extraterrestrial beings. So it's going to prove to be an interesting video and be interesting to see what people's response to that is. And then in November, we are going, on the 8th of November, we are going to have a meditation followed by a drumming. And that's, these are things that people recently have said they'd like to have more of. So we're going to be doing that. And just yesterday, we opened our large gathering space to the Awakening Wichita group, who teach oneness, the oneness of everything. We are one with Creator, we're one with nature, we're one with each other. They are going to be teaching a course here on October 24th and 25th. There is a professor at Newman University here in Wichita who talks about the spiritual aspect of finances, and we want to have her come soon and give a talk about that. We have not scheduled her yet, but those are some of the immediate things that we'd like to do. And I believe it was last fall, maybe even this spring, Rita and Sharon, another member of our group, went up to Topeka, and we were attending an energy conference. And one of the speakers was a Rabbi Muti, who is the head of the Interfaith Power and Light group here in Kansas. Now, as I understand it, this Interfaith Power and Light is something that started in California and is spreading across the country, because their Interfaith Power and Light is a nonprofit organization, and churches and individuals who join this group get special deals on solar installations, and they get help for having solar installations and alternative energies. And this rabbi is very interesting person to listen to, and he's got so much knowledge, and he has stories to tell about the struggles they've had with the Kansas legislature in making sure that that alternative energies get the same support that other energies do. So we want to get him scheduled in here. And then in December, we will have our annual winter solstice gathering. We have food, and we have drumming, and we have special guests, and again, a meditation. And it's one of those times, Candace, you were talking about, people are hungry for ritual. We always have a really good turnout, and I think it's because it's so close to Christmas, and it is so non-commercial, and people seem to really enjoy that. One of the men that's on our board, on our board of directors, does holotropic breath work workshops. He does writing workshops, and he does dream workshops. And so those are scheduled 2 to 3 times a year. None is on the calendar right now, but he's hoping to get one before too much longer. So if folks are interested, they can go to our website or our Facebook page or even our meetup group and get information for things like that.
Well, as long as you're mentioning those things right now, could you tell people the addresses of those places and the address of the, you know, the center itself?
Yeah, our website is www.gpei.org. Easy for me to say. and the meetup group, the title is simply Great Plains Earth Institute. And also, that is the title of our Facebook page, Great Plains Earth Institute. We do a good job of putting news items, interesting items, stories about unusual animal behavior on our Facebook page. There are times when I go on and I just read what other people from our group have put on there, because the things that we come up with, I love the internet because it gives us access to what people are doing, not only in our state, in our city, but in our country, in the hemisphere, and across the world. And so I get a broader perspective of, oh, there's people over there in Russia, or there are people in Australia, or there are people in Iceland who are doing the same kinds of things that we're doing, or they're interested in the same kinds of things that we're doing. So I love it for that reason. So they will get some humor, they will get some information, they may get some things that push them beyond their comfort zone, may push some of their buttons, but it's all put on there for a positive reason.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bella, when you were talking about the bees, I was thinking how humans are, we're kind of like connected like bees like that. And, you know, we only have a few seconds left, but I loved it when you were talking about the glass enclosure showing the bees and having Yes. the people act like the bees, because I think we're more connected as people than we realize. And I think it's quite a joy that some of us are really yearning for that connection, working for it. And that's very much what you're doing with the Great Plains Earth Institute and what we're trying to do here with New Earth Journey Radio. Bella, thank Yes. you so much for spending some time with me this evening. I've gotten to know you and more about the Institute, and I've had a really great time. I hope that you have as well.
That has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Bella, and join us next time on New Earth Journey Radio, where you will find many wonderful and fun guests to listen to and perhaps learn a little information on how to be well. Thank you and good night, everybody. Good night, Bella.
Good night.